The Dean of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, welcome back. News and notes from stuff that happened around the world of sports. So Lance Lynn got thrown out of the game against the A's in the fourth inning yesterday. He comes off the field in a tie game. I think it was 1-1 at the time. And he's coming off the field, and he walks by, walks by the umpires, out of the dugout. They wanted to check him for controlled substances. So he takes off his belt, and he throws it at the umpire who's outside the dugout.
Yeah.
And immediately the ump goes, "You're out of here. Beat it. Beat it, Lance Lynn." I mean, that's a big loss for the White Sox, losing Lance Lynn in the fourth inning because he's a hothead. Apparently, does Lance Lynn not know there's something? Did this umpire touch him in a bad place or something that he would be this upset about getting checked for foreign substances?
Oh, no. This isn't new. Happens every game. Why did he throw his belt? Like, what is wrong with him?
And the guys that are getting pissed about this, it's just amazing. It's just amazing.
I think we need to correct something real quick before you get a million tweets. It wasn't controlled substances. That would be like opioids.
Did you say controlled?
Did I say controlled
substances? No, substances foreign substances. What they're looking for.
Foreign substances, not controlled substances.
Was
You're right.
Adderall in there?
That's different.
Was he looking for speed? Oxys?
Aaron Rodgers does not want a farewell tour. So, well, I mean, if you were going to honor him.
No, he's not for sure gone. He could still come back to the Green Bay Packers.
Well, he's not retiring anyway. Why would you get a farewell tour?
Well, because you think he's...
No, it wouldn't be a tour.
Like
it would
Tommy,
be at home.
Like Tommy with New England?
Well, that's different. That's not a tour.
What about Dirk Nowitzki had a tour?
Well, when he retired. He's not retiring.
He might retire from the Packers.
This is a little, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, just because you hosted Jeopardy, you know, try to get that hat on because your head's getting too big.
Well, he said he didn't want that.
Who offered it?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe people in Green Bay are talking about it.
Okay. Are they talking about a farewell tour, or are they saying, or a goodbye after week 17?
No, maybe they're talking about this as like, maybe don't approach it like this is the last year where everything's got to be about this is Aaron Rodgers' last. I think it is, though.
Well,
like
it's just last
like
in
the
Green
Derek
Bay.
Jeter one where every single away team gave him a gift. Like, he doesn't want that.
Well, no crap. What do you mean he doesn't want that? He's going to keep on playing. Of course he. What?
I mean, I'd take it.
No.
If they gave me cool stuff.
Nick Saban says all but one of his Alabama players is vaccinated. Do you want to be that one guy?
That one holdout must feel very, very strongly because with the pressure of everyone else in the locker room and Nick.
Or it's a medical thing. That might be the one. I mean, just because he maybe was sick when he was a kid doesn't mean he can't play college football now and be an elite athlete. That's my one thought, is that there's probably one person who can't take it for a medical reason.
Or he just told Nick, "I ain't doing it. I don't believe in it." Okay. We'll see how long.
All right. Hey,
we'll see.
You don't have to believe in it. All right. But if you miss games, okay, if you cause us to lose a game because your selfishness, all right, if you think you're going to be on the field and we're going to count on you and you're going to come back with COVID and we're going to miss and lose a starter, that ain't happening.
Well,
That ain't happening.
I guarantee you that guy's a really good player, because if you're the one holdout,
you better be really, really, really good.
Really good.
Because Nick will let you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We'll never find out. Yeah, somebody will find out who it is.
Jack Morris has been suspended indefinitely for his Shohei Ohtani. And Shohei Ohtani has responded. He said...
Through his interpreter.
Through his interpreter.
We got it right here. Here's through his interpreter. Here's Shohei Ohtani talking about whether or not he was... how offended he was.
Yeah, I did see the footage and I heard it on the video. But I mean, personally, I'm not offended. I didn't take anything personally, and I have no say to what the Tigers wanted to do or what they did with him. And I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He has a big influence in the baseball world. So, I'm gonna kind of a tough spot.
That's through his translator.
That was through his translator. Now, Jack Morris has got some receipts, by the way. Did you see the story that came out? Apparently, in early 90s or 1990, I think it was right around 1990, an intern at the Detroit Free Press, a female, asked him for an interview. And he said, I don't talk to women unless they're on top of me or I'm on top of them.
Oh, wow.
Bo Schembechler came out and said, this is on the Detroit Free Press. They shouldn't send a woman to go talk to Jack Morris.
There's Bo sticking up for you.
That was 30 years ago.
And I don't take orders from no woman,
by the way.
By the way.
Yeah, Jack Morris, apparently, this is not Jack's first, I don't know, offensive remark that he's ever made. This is actually nothing compared to that. It's so funny. And then Jack Morris, you know, he wasn't, of course, there was no Twitter to cancel him or anything else, but and a lot of people didn't hear his thoughts. A lot of people would have been down with what he said. That was when women were getting into the locker room, and it was controversial.
People forget it was real controversial.
Yeah, it was very controversial.
It's real controversial. I don't know. Even in 1990, it wasn't Ty Cobb era where you'd say, I don't talk to women unless they're on top of me or I'm on top of them. Like, hey, it's the 90s, Jack. This isn't 1923.
Yeah.
And your gloves are, you know, only have three fingers in them. You may have to update that a little bit.
Well, apparently not. He didn't want none of them women telling him what to do. So this is not Jack Morris. This appears a little bit in line with Jack Morris, but you know, that was 30 years ago, 30, 31 years ago.
I think Otani was trying to do him a solid by saying, look, I wasn't offended.
Yeah.
That's not something I don't want, you know, it's not a, I think Otani coming out and saying that will definitely help Jack Morris.
Yeah. And you know what? It was, yeah, come on. It's not nearly as offensive as what he said in 1990.
Not if that's true.
So Kevin Durant and Draymond Green.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know what? They're boys. They are boys. Team USA. They're all on the same page. Of course, there was a time when Draymond Green continually called Kevin Durant a little B. You're a B.
Yeah.
And you know whose fault that was, Lance?
Yeah, of course. It's somebody else's fault.
It wasn't that those two couldn't get along.
Appeared to be the case on the, which they actually even acknowledge when Draymond's interviewing Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant and Draymond basically said he's upset that Steve Kerr tried to ignore it instead of acknowledging it, which is okay. Steve Kerr's trying to be about ball. He's trying to let this thing die out and move on. Then, so that wasn't good. But then when Bob Myers, the general manager, says, hey, I want you to come in and apologize to Kevin Durant. Well, that wasn't okay either. So you couldn't ignore it. You couldn't ask him to make an apology. Tell him what Draymond Green said, how Draymond basically said that they screwed this up because they weren't handling this right.
So the organization told Draymond, you need to apologize to him. You got the audio. Oh, sweet. Well, here's what started, though. Kevin Durant and Draymond Green Green got suspended. The spat happened near the end of an eventual overtime loss to the Los Angeles Clippers when Durant ripped Green for not passing the ball. Durant said the argument itself was less of an issue than the way the Warriors brass handled it. And here's what Draymond added.
When we landed back from L.A., Hazel was sitting in the car for an hour and 45 minutes. They pulled me in that room at Signature for an hour and 45 minutes, and they tried to tell me, you need to apologize. And I told them, I'll talk to Kay, but y'all aren't going to tell me what I need to say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they went on for an hour and 45 minutes saying a bunch of bullshit. And ultimately, they realized, all right, we're not getting through to him. We're going to try again in the morning. And so we met the next morning, and they said, all right, you slept on it. You ready to apologize? And I told them right then and there, I said, y'all about to f*** this up. I said, the only person that can make this right is me and Kay. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing that y'all can do, and y'all are going to fuck this up. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, they fucked it up.
I think so, too.
And they told me right then and there, like, we're going to suspend you for this game. I laughed in their face, literally laughed in their face. And Bob said to me, he said, wow, that was not the reaction I was looking for or expecting. And I said, well, either I'm going to laugh in your face or I'm going to cuss you the fuck out. So you pick, I'm going to choose laugh. So I think what you're doing is funny. And so I'm going to laugh. And so it's interesting to hear you say essentially the same thing that I told them that day.
You know, people talk about how there's no, like, the
I players, fail to understand, though, how.
I still, it, you can't find it, can you? You can't how find out. They, wait, how did they F this up?
How did, what? Because only, they wanted you to apologize?
They wanted him to apologize for calling Kevin Durant a bitch seven times in a row on television that everyone saw and memed. He said the only people that could do it are me and Kevin Durant. They suspended him for a game, which I guess screwed everything up, even though Kevin Durant had multiple negative things to say about Draymond Green. This is a classic case. You know when you hear that the NBA players run the league?
Yeah.
This is an example why. He's talking about cussing out the GM, who all he wants is, hey, can you apologize by calling your teammate a bitch?
Seven times.
On all the memes and all the TV shows and all this.
We're trying to win a championship here.
I think he was more pissed off the fact that they told him he had to, like a child, instead of, like, from his perspective, you would. He said,
I'm going to apologize, but I'm not, you're not going to tell me what to say.
But he said, you know, they should have. You're going to mess this up. This is something between me and Kevin. If you're in his position, wouldn't you rather Kevin Durant come to you and be like, dude, come on.
Fine. Here's what I want to know, Aaron. How did that mess it up?
Yeah.
I don't understand how that. They had a relationship that was not a good relationship. I doubt him apologizing, not apologizing. He's right. It is between him and Kevin Durant. The problem is, this is a classic case of those two guys didn't get along, and now they're trying to retroactively go back and blame Steve Kerr for not caring enough or not acknowledging enough of the fight, and then Bob Myers for doing it too much. It's like, this is literally just two guys trying to take what could have been a longer championship run and blaming it for somebody else when they had. I agree that the only two guys who could straighten out are those two guys. There's no question that a forced apology or whatever wasn't going to make a difference if it didn't come from the heart. But I don't understand taking that and turning that into y'all effed it up and Kevin Durant going, yep, it was them. It definitely wasn't us. It definitely wasn't us who couldn't get along.
Well, Kevin Durant's always Mr. Pass the Buck.
I mean, Kevin Durant is Mr. Pass the Buck.
Always pass the
buck. But that was a crazy. When I listened to all of that yesterday and was going through this, I'm like, wait a minute. I can't find how this was on Kerr and Bob Myers. Myers is trying to keep his team together.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr's trying not to make too big a deal out of it and let it go. And yet Draymond's trying to find a way that this is on management? Two grown-ass men who couldn't communicate?
If you're going to do it, if you're Bob Myers, what you do is you call them into the same room and you look at them both and say, you're grown-ass men. I'm shutting the door when I walk out. You guys figure it out and you be ready to play.
They would have blamed that on you too. Like, that's not the way things get done. Okay. Well, however y'all want to do them. And all I know is the whole year, it didn't get done.
Yeah.
It didn't get done. So if those two could have done it, why didn't they do it? If they cared enough to do it, that had nothing to do with a conversation with Bob Myers in the evening and then in the morning. That somehow screwed up the relationship between these two. And no one calls this out. Like, I'm astonished how many people, Draymond calls it like it is. And I think he's got a future in media because he is really, and I'm just thinking, we're just going to let this pass. Like, two grown alphas couldn't come to an agreement and they pushed it off.
It's ridiculous. It's because they were on the U.S. team together. So now they're boys and we got to blame some. It's not us. It's not on us.
Yeah, because
it's ridiculous.
So when history goes, and you know who's probably feeling the heat is Draymond. Because Draymond, now you look at the Warriors, look at where they were last year, look at where they were the year before with Klay Thompson being out. If they don't come back and perform well now, history is going to look at Draymond as one of the guys who pushed Kevin Durant out of Golden State. I guarantee you.
It was Myers and it was Kerr.
That's what I guarantee you. That's probably what he's doing, is trying to rewrite history so he can put it on somebody else. It wasn't him.
Yep.
It wasn't him that He had nothing to do with Kevin Durant leaving. In hindsight, it was all on Bob Myers and Steve Kerr. Like, oh, okay.
When we come back, we will interview the author of the pivotal rookies on each NFL team. So that article broke on NFL.com. So we will do that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 919 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, an article broke yesterday, NFL.com. It is the 2021 NFL season, one pivotal rookie for each of the 32 teams. Good article. What rookie is going to make a difference? And joining us now is the author of that article, Lance Zierlein, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you.
So you are a draft expert for NFL.com, and this is not just first rounders. A lot of these aren't even obvious. How difficult was it to come up with which guy, especially for a team like the Texans that didn't even have a pick until the third round?
Boy, that's a really great question. Some of these, I felt like it's a tough. I talked to my editor about this. It's really tough because you could just default to the first round pick for most of these teams. So I tried to go a little deeper and find out, you know, the question is pivotal, right? So I tried to work at the phrase pivotal and work around that to come up with my answers. When I had an opportunity to get outside of the first round pick, I tried to take that. For a team like the Texans, and there's more than just the Texans, there was the Rams, there was the Texans, there's Seahawks who didn't have first round picks. Yeah, it's tough. It was really tough on some instances. And so coming up with those players, it was fun. It kind of re-energized my excitement about the rookie class. But at the same time, it really was interesting just trying to decipher what it meant to be a pivotal rookie. And on one team, pivotal, like for the Texans, your team there in Houston, pivotal has a different meaning than maybe, what the Dallas Cowboys need from a pivotal rookie like Micah Parsons.
So you picked Nico Collins for the Texans as opposed to Davis Mills. Did you? Because Mills is awfully important because you got to find out what you got, which will be awfully important to next year and who you're going to draft with that first overall pick. So you picked Nico Collins for the Texans as opposed. Did that come into consideration, Davis Mills?
Yeah, and you're closer to it down there in Houston. But I think from a standpoint of being able to, you know, decipher between those two, because those were the two that I had to pick between. And I just thought, well, okay, Davis Mills is likely to play. When is he going to play? And I got back to the phrase pivotal. And pivotal to me was going to be, can they finally find a receiver who is either going to complement Brandon Brooks or maybe take over, maybe as a wide receiver one? I don't necessarily see Nico Collins as that. But, you know, can they find a big target who can be the next? Because I looked at it like this. Nico Collins' growth is going to be pivotal for any level of success this year, but also for the future, which may include Davis Mills, because you haven't had that. And correct me if I'm wrong, you're down there in Houston, but you haven't had that same number one type guy like a DeAndre Hopkins since he left. I didn't see anyone last year in the roster, and I'm trying to remember, I'm trying to jog my memory about the roster. You're closer to it. But Brandon Cook, smaller receiver. You had Randall Cobb, smaller receiver. You had Andre Johnson, who is a bigger, I think, was Andre still playing?
No, Andre's done.
Okay, no Andre, but you know what I mean. You don't have the big receivers anymore. Nico Collins is a big body guy. So yeah, I could totally see the argument for Davis Mills, and he will be the answer if he plays earlier rather than later. He's going to be the answer.
You list Rashad Bateman in there, and you say about Rashad Bateman, the Ravens have made no secrets about their desire to improve a lackluster passing game, and having Bateman play at a level that gets him on the field and making contributions could be key to growing the passing attack. I guess my question is, Bateman just recently went out with a leg injury. Is this still a consideration? Like, do you still think Bateman is the guy, or did you write that before the injury? Or, you know, where do you, does that change what you think? Because that is obviously a, obviously is a pivotal player if he can get Lamar Jackson in the passing game going.
Well, that's a long question. There's a lot to get there. I would say that when you look at Rashad Bateman, you have a player who, and remember, this is more than just a 3 or 4 week exercise. Like, even if he misses the first 2, 3, even 4 weeks of the season, it's a 17-week season, and that's a team, unlike your team there in Houston, the Texans, who they're not going to be a playoff team, but the Ravens do expect to be a playoff team. So when you think about the Ravens, what I want to know is, pivotal to them, once again, it can be different for different teams. Is this a guy who can help potentially move a team in a certain direction? And for the Ravens, they're hoping that the passing attack gets going. And I don't think it's unfair to say the Ravens need a wide receiver who can step up and really help out Lamar Jackson. Now, full disclosure, I was not a big Rashad Bateman fan. I think he's more of a third round type of wide receiver. So, but I do think that if he can play well, he is pivotal potentially in either direction, either positively or negatively. How he performs could be quote unquote pivotal in terms of what the Ravens can do this year.
Lance Zierlein, NFL.com, joining us here on in Houston on ESPN.
By the way, I was also a host at 790, which is this seven? What station is this?
This is 97.5.
Okay, and I did, and in a 610.
This is a different one. Okay. This is
But I did have some time in Houston.
Yeah. No. Yeah, we've done some shows. Yeah, we realize that. So, of the quarter, the pivotal quarterbacks. I mean, I guess you have Mac Jones in here. You got Justin Fields in here. You got Trey Lance in here. You expect all three of those guys to be playing this year? Obviously, because they're pivotal.
No, I have Trey Lance, not even. I have Trey Sermon ahead of Trey Lance. I do have Justin Fields because Tevin Jenkins, I don't know if he's even going to play this year. You know, Mac Jones could be a pivotal rookie, but if you look throughout the list, at my entire list, I have Christian Barmore with the Patriots. I only had one of those rookies listed as pivotal, and that was Justin Fields. So I didn't do Trevor Lawrence is going to be the starter for the entire season, I believe. But to me, it was too much of a default. It was an easy one, so I went and got another player there. But for me, I didn't put Mac Jones in there because I don't know that he's going to beat out Cam right away. I think if I had it to do all over again after watching the preseason games and everything, Mac Jones would probably be in there ahead of Christian Barmore. But as far as Trey Lance is concerned, I don't think he has to play for the 49ers to have a chance to have a good postseason run. I don't think his growth this year is as quote-unquote pivotal. To me, you know, finding a player in San Francisco, like the guy that I had on there was Trey Sermon, getting the running game going is really more important to me than the growth of a quarterback who only had 11, you know, starts in college anyway. So I've only got one quarterback on that whole list.
My bad. I didn't read the article. So, but, yeah,
I read it for what it's worth.
I rarely read.
I'm glad somebody read it.
Really read much of your stuff, but anyway, it's a good article, except for, you know, Nico Collins instead of Davis Mills. Other than that, you know, I don't really care about the other teams and what and all that stuff, but good stuff. We really appreciate you joining us here down in Houston on ESPN. This is ESPN 97.5.
Tell 92.5 too.
And ESPN 92.5 as well.
That's cool. I appreciate you guys having me in Houston. It's been a while, and good luck this year. I know it's not. What's the deal with Deshaun Watson? You guys expecting him to play? Like, I'm also still a big Astros fan from when I grew up, a Cesar Cedeno fan. Is this – who would you expect to play first, Bregman or Deshaun Watson?
That's a tough one. I'm going to punt on that one.
That one actually came up earlier in the show, Lance,
well,
with Robert Flores, and we've actually talked about
Trevor
that.
Well, it was Trevor Bauer, not Alex Bregman.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not sure.
That's the Houston version of it.
Right. But I'm really not sure which one's going to play first, Deshaun or Alex Bregman. So that's another tough
that's
question.
Awesome. Who's more likely to play in September, Bregman or Deshaun Watson?
I think
Watson?
That's a difficult
I'm going Bregman. Yeah.
Well, maybe from outside looking in, but here in Houston, you know, being inside and knowing the Houston sports scene, I'm not sure. That's a tough one. Every day,
flipping. Is it still humid?
It's really still humid every day. Yeah,
I don't miss that.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us here on the show. We appreciate it. Keep up the good work. I'll try to read next time before you come on. I'll try to read your article.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
There's Lance Zierlein right here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
NFL draft expert and and pitmaster. So
pitmaster. Nobody said that. I'm pretty sure no one has ever said that. Pretty sure no one has ever said no one ever.
That was a really good article. He did a good job.
He did a great job. I'll read it sometime.
I would have Mac Jones in there. Personally instead of Christian Barmore. That wasn't a very good pick. Christian Barmore, is he even playing?
Yeah, might have Davis Mills. I don't know. Trey Lance might be pivotal too if he has a big year, but never mind. But that's all right. Time to be, you know what, is the underdog fantasy.
Underdog fantasy. So I had a buddy of mine who joined yesterday. He did his first deposit, got the $25 cash. Because when you use a promo code radio, they're going to give you a $25 bonus on top of your first deposit. So you throw in $100, guess what you're going to find in there, $125. And with that $25, I'm going to basically tell you what you need to do. What you need to do is join Best Ball Mania 2. It's the season-long NFL fantasy football contest worth $3.5 million in prizes and $1 million going to first place. You get to draft your team. Now, this is where skill level is very important. You get to draft your team before the season starts, and it's going to stay your team. There's no sit starts. There's no waiver wire. And so what that means is that if you're good, if you're very skilled at this whole fantasy football thing, this is where you can take your shots later on in your draft at some of the volatile players, some of the deep sleepers that you think is going to be a lot better than other players out there and some of the other quote-unquote experts believe. So make sure you go to underdogfantasy.com, take advantage of daily fantasy, season-long fantasy, and much, much more. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code radio.
If you can't get enough of your favorite ESPN 97.5 show, we've got just the thing for you, and it's not f***ing safe for work.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
For all the uncensored interaction, head over to twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Say what?
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right.
What's worse, Lance interviewing Lance or me thinking, that's a good question?
Oh, he's a ladder guy. Yes, got the brisket part wrong. No, Lance was. I'm crying, laughing. My manager left me alone because he knows I'm listening to something crazy. Lance on the phone should accuse Lance in the studio of not reading the article. Then melee ensues. Now, I really didn't read the article. I thought you had Trey or Lance had Trey Lance in there, and he had others. You know, other guys in there. Apparently, there is a Ric Flair picture going around.
I'm looking. It's not Ric. It's just because he has
the
hair.
Woo! Hair. But he's doing something. And is that an airplane?
It's a train.
It's a train. Oh.
How are you getting away with that?
That's why it went viral, is because he said, I'm not a train rider. I'm the high flying.
That's not Ric Flair. Hey, that okay. So you know what? Now it's believable. He's got an alibi. I don't ride in trains.
Those are some janky ass feet too.
Yeah,
you're way up in the air. Yeah, I can speak.
You
on
like
this.
Pretty feet,
pitmaster, foot guy. I can speak to this. Those look like an old woman's. That doesn't look good. None of this looks good.
So
that shouldn't be happening.
There are
train.
Feet in the air, and then there's the back of a guy's head, and it looks like Ric Flair's head. Yeah.
Well, it looks like his hair because it's got.
It does look like his hair, but it's the back of his head. No one knows. So
And she's got an ankle bracelet on. That lets you know when you see ankle bracelets or toe rings, I'm just telling you right now, you might have yourself problems or a good time. Typically, that is going to be who I used to call Texan Karen before the Karen meme became a thing. Texans Karen was very much like that J.J. Watts. She called him J.J. Watts. She was the biggest Texans fan, didn't really know a lot about the Texans. But I always thought Texans Karen is the one who will go also to an Astros game, and she's likely at some point to have too much to drink and end up taking her whole all of her pants off in the truck, in her husband's truck on the ride home. Like, that's a move.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Well, I'm saying, I know that Texans Karen has too many mimosas, mm-hmm. too many frosés, and I know she also has an ankle bracelet. I know for sure. And when I say that, I mean like a true ankle bracelet,
yeah.
not like
right.
tethered to the legal system.
Right.
And maybe a toe ring.
And it's multicolored and it's string.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this lady who's got her legs up in the air on this picture,
mm-hmm.
ankle bracelet, right side.
Yep.
Shocker.
Yep.
Y'all.
So.
Yeah, I started Karen, by the way. I was the first one. I did Texans Karen so many years ago because Karen felt like the right name. And then the internet stole it from me.
They did. You started Texans Karen.
Internet steals. People stole my SEC guy, and they used different. One of them, I think his radio station in Dallas, was very blatant about it. 1930s guy, when we did the Rice Stadium. That was
and other news.
The
yeah.
And other news. Well, but no, the Texans Karen thing. Texans Karen was the first Karen.
All right, so there's another story brewing here.
Yeah, she drinks tequila. Texans Karen for sure drinks tequila.
On his, said during an appearance on the Saturday Down South podcast, which he's on frequently, I guess. And I don't even know if that's his podcast, whatever the case.
Who are we talking about here?
Paul Feinbaum.
Okay.
Paul Feinbaum says, apparently, and you know what? We knew about this at the time. You'll remember. Nick Saban's wife was in Austin looking for a house.
Yeah, they stole this from us.
Yeah. No, there's another steal.
It's another thing they stole from us.
So
we reported that Jeff Ketchum had it first.
Back when Mac left back in 2013, apparently Nick Saban was a candidate for the job. And there were a lot of people that said, yeah, Nick Saban's wife is looking in. Now, that might have been when Herman was hired, and I don't know. I don't know the timing of it. But we know Nick Saban's wife was looking for a house. But apparently, Paul Feinbaum explained on this Saturday Down South podcast, he explained why Nick Saban didn't take the job in 2013.
Said that Texas boosters had tried to hire Nick Saban, which I think most people knew. But we had a source that said that they had offered him more than $100 million and Texas fans tried to act like, we don't want Nick Saban. He's old, I just think back on some of that now and laugh because they acted like they really didn't care about it. And the bottom line is they did want Saban, and Saban was offered the job and he considered it. He said to me and to anyone who would confront him with this, that the reason he didn't go to Texas, he said this privately, he didn't say it publicly, was he did not want to have to answer to 10 or 15 different boosters who all felt like they owned the franchise. It was a little bit of the Jerry Jones complex or the Boone Pickens complex in college football in the past. And that has always haunted Texas.
And he went on to say, he said it was a problem at Alabama before Saban arrived in 2007. Mm-hmm. In 2007, but Saban came in and made it clear, I run this place, and that is absolutely clear. And you know what? That may be part of the problem with the University of Texas is there are too many chefs in the kitchen. There are too many people making decisions, and it's based on money as opposed to football.
It's possible, for sure. Think about what Texas could have had. This is kind of off the topic just for a second, but I know for a fact that Urban Meyer would have taken that job, but then Mac, who was going to step away, stayed one more year, and that was 1 year too long, and it took Urban Meyer out of the mix, and he went to Ohio State. You had Nick Saban flying in. The potential of them hiring Nick Saban because of a lot of the stuff that Paul Feinbaum talked about. I mean... It used to be you had a bunch of boosters. You'd have the alpha booster. You had some underneath him. But you knew how things worked. And the head coach had to know his role. The AD knew his role. There's different powers of structure of power at every university. What's happened now, though, is it's been flipped on its head because of all this money. It's okay. Who's given the most for which buildings? And now that head coaches are getting paid so much money, they've got way more power than athletic directors now. Way more power. And then sometimes it turns into head coach versus booster. And then it becomes head coach versus media. And if the head coach gets really successful at a smaller college town or at a typical college town like Mac Brown did and certainly like Nick Saban, they get to bully the media into whatever they want. And that's just the way it is. Like, in many ways, we know how the pro setup is. Coaches may deal with it differently. Some general managers may deal with it differently. But in college, I would argue that college is a way trickier situation because any university, you don't know what you're stepping into.
No. Well, big boosters in an NFL team, there are how many of them? And a college, you give a lot of money to a college program, you're in charge.
If you're a big booster at an NFL team, it doesn't matter. You don't have say-so.
They don't know say-so.
They're not giving you any say-so.
None. So in college, though, you do get your say.
Yeah,
you absolutely.
And I think that's why a lot of guys gravitate towards, instead of a pro team, going back to the colleges where they were, because they can have some, they feel like they're a little more in.
Yep.
You know, like Boone Pickens. Could you ever imagine Boone Pickens trying to be a Cowboys fan and tell Jerry Jones what to do? Or be an anybody fan?
Hells no. Hells no.
Although, who was it that had some sway? No. We had some guys. Who was it in the Minnesota Vikings? It was Ziggy Wolf, obviously, owner, but wasn't there somebody in Minnesota with the Vikings that tried to have a little bit of a sway? I'm trying to.
I don't remember.
Maybe not.
I don't remember.
At Texas, you could do this. Charlie Strong, he's more of a defensive coordinator than a head coach. That's actually. Who was that?
That actually happened.
That was a car dealer.
Red McCombs.
Yeah, Red McCombs.
Red McCombs. That actually happens in college.
Yes.
You wouldn't say that in the pros. Nobody gets to say that in the pros. In college, you can like, well, they didn't talk to me on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you would never talk to a car dealer before you hire David Culley. Or, actually, it feels like that hiring was made by maybe a car dealer.
Well, speaking of car dealers, what about Craig DeCerf?
Craig DeCerf has opinions. He has a lot of opinions about his baseball team because he does business with Carlos Correa. He does business with Jose Altuve. Bracamonte is another guy. Joe Smith, formerly of the Astros, he did business with him. A lot of different Astros have come through and purchased vehicles from Craig DeCerf, and that's because, you know, I'm going to tell you why for the Astros. Yeah, the price is great and all that, but it's their customer service for them. They will take it. They will drive it directly to their location, bring back the other cars. They'll bring out the paperwork to them if they need, you know, if need be. They are a customer service based company. Their customer service index, the CSI, is at the top in Houston year after year after year. But the service and selection is fantastic. They have offers right now going on, like $3,000 purchase allowance on a GMC 1500 crew cab. You can get that pickup truck going right now with. It's all decked out with tons of features. $3,000 purchase allowance. Those are the kind of offers they have going on at LanceZCars.com. Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC in Angleton. Customer service, selection, and the price point all are hard to beat. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, Charlie's up next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, quickly. Pulling Greinke, 85 pitches. I mean, are you kidding me? Really?
We've seen that movie before.
It's so dumb.
Well, he's old.
AJ did it too, though.
Yeah.
AJ's not old.
That was the movie.
Wait, did you mean when you said he's old, who are you talking about?
Dusty.
Oh, I didn't mean Dusty, but
oh,
no, he meant Zach.
Oh, I thought you meant Dusty.
He meant Zach.
I mean,
he
I said,
He did it too.
Yeah, no, well, he's old. He's senile. He makes decisions like this.
To me, the only rationale, which doesn't mean we have to agree with it, as you said, 85 pitches, but they're trying to conserve some bullets for that 37-year-old gun for October.
That's baloney. That's baloney. You got to win this game. You got to turn this around. And Dusty lost the game for him. He lost the game. Now, that's as good a throw as you'll ever see, though, Benintendi's. That's as good a throw as you'll ever see.
Phenomenal. It was
91
it was
miles an hour. Perfect throw.
It was a great throw. The throw that Barry Bonds made in that Braves game. Now, a good throw. They needed perfect. And the Pirates would have gone to that World Series. The kids can YouTube that one. Benintendi, that's the guy who made the catch on Bregman and the ALCS. Looked like he was going to be a star. Red Sox wind up dumping him on the Royals, and that didn't work out so well for the Astros. They can't get swept by the Royals.
Yes, oh, they can. Evidently, they can't they, Charlie?
It is bizarre, you know, that their record, it is over 500 against the losing teams, but it's a crappy record against the losing teams for a good team and against the worst of the teams, Twins, Royals, Rangers. The Tigers were garbage earlier in the year when they got swept by them. It's weird, but hey, the A's keep losing.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, White Sox. Even Lance Lynn getting thrown out, they still were able to beat the A's. Thank you, Charlie. Charlie's up next right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, living legend Manny Pacquiao and current welterweight world champion Yordanis Ugas will meet in a blockbuster title fight live from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. The Pac-Man puts it all on the line yet again as he looks to add to his impressive collection of belts. Saturday, August 21st, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, live on pay-per-view. But now on the Fox Sports app and watch. Buy now on the Fox Sports app and watch on any screen you want. Okay, so we're giving this away? It doesn't say that.
Yeah, we have a promo code to watch the fight this weekend.
Oh, okay. So I'll tell you what, at exactly 10 o'clock on the dot, 10 o'clock, caller number 7 is going to get that promo code. So you want to watch the fight for free? We got one for you. 713-780-3776 at 10 o'clock.
I'll kick off News of the Weird. How about NIL deals? We've seen lots of NIL deals that are going down. This is probably the most unique one that I've seen up to this
point. Best.
JaQuincy McKinstry, which you almost, instead of JT, you almost named him.
JaQuincy.
Mm-hmm. But instead you went with JT, which is John Tyler. That's fine, too. Family names and whatever.
My wife's not as adventurous as I am.
And she's from South Louisiana.
I know, right? They've had some Jaquaviuses there, too.
Well, here's a JaQuincy, and his nickname is Kool-Aid. And so, wouldn't you know it, Kool-Aid McKinstry partnered in NIL with Kool-Aid, the company. Mm-hmm. And so, he's full-on with Kool-Aid, and oh, yeah! You know, because Kool-Aid, man, has to break through walls and all that stuff. So, he's got a video of him breaking through walls. So, you've got a lot of different things going on with NIL, but well, the coolest one is a kid with a nickname Kool-Aid ends up doing an NIL deal with Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
You pay him in Kool-Aid, or you think they pay him cash?
No, I'm pretty sure they're going to give him cash. Kool-Aid, you have to pay with cash, and they'll probably pay him with cash. A gang broke into a restaurant, stole pricey booze, and were arrested. And they were given $20,000 fines, Lance. They broke into a restaurant and stole really expensive booze.
$20,000 fine. That's a lot of booze they stole.
Yeah, but they weren't fined for breaking in and stealing. They were fined for not wearing masks.
Oh.
20,000.
20 G's.
Yeah. Yeah, 20,000 for not wearing masks. Sure. That apparently is a worse offense than breaking and entering
in
thievery.
Which country was it? Is this here?
It's in some country in the world. Yeah, right.
Is there any chance we could get fined? Because I got a mask in my pocket in case I run into a mask place.
You do?
Yeah.
Boston nurse Allie Ray. You can find her right now on OnlyFans, Lance. Yes. She's making $200,000 a month on OnlyFans. This OnlyFans thing is...
So I had this thought. This thought crossed my mind. Gamers, TikTokers, all these YouTubers, influencers... You know, we look at them and say, yeah, oh, great. I'm glad you have 2 million followers. What's going to happen, though, when you don't have an education? Like, oh, wait, that's right. They're already making over $1 million a year.
Yeah, what do they need education for?
I forgot.
What do you need an education for?
I forgot. They've already hit the end game. No. The ends justified the means.
So who's more valuable to our society? A nurse who was probably making, I don't know, $5,000-$6,000 a month? Mm-hmm. Or an OnlyFans model who's making $200,000 a month?
Well, to society, yeah, probably the nurse. Well, no. A nurse can't reach out to people all over the country and all over the world.
And touch them.
In a very small place.
And touch them the way a nurse does.
A nurse can actually get hands-on, help you out in one city or town. But OnlyFans, you're reaching out to so many more people potentially.
Hey, good news. 2022 lineup is out for Girl Scout cookies, and they're adding a brownie cookie. Lance, are you interested in a brownie inspired with caramel creme and just a hint of sea salt?
Yeah, it sounds like salted. Yeah, sounds like a salted caramel brownie cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested.
It's better than all their other crap.
You know who
cookies.
Else is interested? Diabetes.
Yeah, I'm sure diabetes is interested in this caramel.
I'm sorry, what was that
brownie
cookie? Nothing, diabetes. Mind your business. I'm sorry, give me that cookie again, please.
Do you have your Houston Roughneck shirt on today? No, I do. And I'll be doing a sports map video with it. If anybody wants to see a Houston Roughnecks t-shirt, then all you got to do is go and check it out at sportsmap.com. We're done. Charlie's next right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.